Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. During roll call at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Florida, puts former President Donald Trump over the top for the nomination. His son Eric announcing,
on behalf of the 125 delegates in the unbelievable state of Florida, we hereby nominate every single one of them for the greatest president that's ever lived, and that's Donald J. Trump.
Trump also has chosen his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. CBS's Robert Costa.
This is someone who's entrenched in Trumpism, believes in it, advocates for it. And so you really see him trying to pass the torch eventually to someone who will carry on his version of Republican politics.
Reporter Doug Sovern at the RNC says the atmosphere is positive.
California delegate Vanila Singh says the mood here stems directly from how Donald Trump reacted after his near assassination.
It's really a fight on, you know, resilience.
Brian Summer says he typifies that as his North Carolina county's first ever black Republican delegate.
Nowhere else in the world is this possible. To have the dream, to pursue it, to try to do it, to have the freedom as in this country. And we're not perfect, but we're on the road trying, we'll work to try to get there.
Doug Sovern for CBS News, Milwaukee.
More information coming out about Thomas Crooks, the 20-year-old registered Republican who attempted to assassinate former President Donald Trump at a Saturday rally. One attendee died and two others were critically wounded. CBS's Scott McFarlane in Butler, Pennsylvania.
CBS News saw FBI agents on top of that structure, a few hundred feet from where the former president spoke, from where the shots were fired Saturday. We also know federal agents have tried to get information from the shooter's cell phone, but so far, no update, no information on motive.
Snipers inside the building the shooter was on spotted him walking by, as first reported by the BeaverCountian.com, and believe he might have used an air conditioning unit to get on top of the roof. President Biden tells NBC News that his comment about putting former President Trump in the bullseye days before Saturday's assassination attempt was meant to put the focus on Trump and what he's doing. Biden says it was a mistake to use the word.
How do you talk about the threat to democracy, which is real, when a president says things like he says? Do you just not say anything because it may incite somebody?
An excessive heat warning is in effect in Baltimore, where it was expected to feel more like 110 degrees today.
It's kind of like breathing underwater sometimes. It's like so humid. You know, if you take a shower to cool off, you go outside and then you're like back in a shower. You're sweating so much. Like,
on Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 211 points. The Nasdaq rose 74. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention after being shot in the ear Saturday at a rally in Pennsylvania. Trump is still planning to deliver a speech at the RNC on Thursday night. However, he told the Washington Examiner that he has completely rewritten his speech after Saturday's events. The Secret Service said in a Sunday briefing that there will be no changes to security plans at the RNC. If you own a well on your property, the DNR says you should test your drinking water after all this rain and flooding. Flood water and runoff can introduce contaminants to a well that spread waterborne illnesses. Wells located in pits, basements, and low-lying areas are at a higher risk of contamination, according to a DNR press release. More information on testing and decontamination can be found on the Wisconsin DNR website. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Nationals 9-3. With the win, Milwaukee avoided being swept at home by Washington. They also remain only one of three teams that have yet to lose more than three games in a row. Pat Murphy praised the performance of his pitchers.
There was a lot of great effort today. Pitching staff underrated today. Rob Z, Colin Ray. It's not easy when you're a starter to then come in after a opener. Colin's done it a couple times, but still not easy to get in the flow of the game.
Brewers closer Devin Williams one step closer to a return on the mound for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers.
3-2 pitch to Lee. got him swinging. One inning, three strikeouts. Looking good, Devin Williams.
Nine strikes out of 14 pitches. Williams on what he's working on.
You know, today, like the last pitch I threw, the 3-2 changeup, how consistent can I be?
Day two of the baseball draft. So far, the Brewers taking an outfielder, a first baseman, and two pitchers. Home run derby at the All-Star game tonight in Arlington, Texas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be severe with large hail and damaging wind gusts. Heavy rainfall a concern as well. Warm and muggy with lows near 70. Mostly sunny, not as hot or humid tomorrow. Highs into the lower 80s.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special edition of the Devil's Advocates live from RNC MKE 2024. Join us at the Kampali Party at 3.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
All right, we are finally live. Everywhere, all over the state once again, starting off hour number two. If you're just joining us from the RNC with Civic Media's terrific coverage, great to have you with us. We're broadcasting state live here on Nightlight. We did sort of a fun first hour, but now we're back live, and we've got a great guest here coming up in just a couple of minutes in Mike Jaguar, also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. He is joining us in studio. We'll actually do a magic trick. We'll talk to him about magic. A little bit about the theater scene here in Northeast Wisconsin. That'll be a fun talk. Right now, though, it is my pleasure to introduce. This is a fun little contest we're doing here. We are giving you, the listener, a chance to win a pair of tickets to Good Buffalo's concert, Vibrations of the Earth, at the Malva Cultural Center this Saturday. Good Buffalo, also known as Ace Champion. Ace has been on this show before. He has been on Mino and the Mayor several times, and we need to get him back on Nightlight, Conrad. Let's see what we can do about that.
I'll take a memo.
Take a memo and see if he can bring even more flutes this time.
Sounds good.
That's our question. If you want to win these concert tickets to the Malva Cultural Center this Saturday to see Ace or Good Buffalo, all you have to do to qualify to win is answer the question, and just entering your answer will qualify you to win. So the question is, how many varieties of the flute has Good Buffalo played? There were so many, even the night he was on the show, I couldn't even tell you. Three winners will be picked on Thursday night at 8 p.m. here at Nightlight, and also announced on the air Friday morning with Mino and the Mayor. Good luck. So that's our question. Text in now, and I'm supposed to read, it's multiple choice, right, Conrad?
Yes.
All right. How many varieties of the flute has Good Buffalo, a.k.a. Ace Champion, played? Is it A, 28, B, 42, C, 50, or D, 35? If I had to guess, I would say 1,000, but that's not on here. So A, 28, B, 42, C, 50, D, 35. Text in your answer or your guess. Because that's a tough pull, I will be honest. You don't really pay attention to how many. You just hear what he does, and it's great, and he has all these really cool different instruments he plays. But I honestly could not tell you how many. I just know it's a lot. So any of those sounds good to me. But text in your answer, and you can be eligible to win. There will be three winners picked on Thursday night at 8 p.m. for tickets to see Ace or Good Buffalo at the Malva Cultural Center. And that is this Saturday. So good luck. Great to have you with me tonight, wherever you are in our wonderful state. It is my pleasure now to welcome to the show a guy I've met before. He's been on Mino and the Mayor several times. I've never had him on this show, and I've wanted to get him on the show for a while now. And I finally asked Todd Michaels, the morning show producer, who supplied me with your contact info. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight, live in studio, Mike Jagera, also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. How are you, Mike?
Good, thank you.
What do you want me to call you throughout the interview? Mike? You know, Gizmo?
Gizmo's fine.
Gizmo,
you know,
all
most
right,
folks
great.
Call me Giz or Gizmo. Or
Giz or Gizmo, okay. Yeah. Not Mo?
Well,
Zemo. How about Zemo? Don't rule out Zemo. That's not bad.
I don't know. In the midnight hour, she cried, "Mo, mo, mo." I don't know.
<There you go. laughs> And that is wonderful smelling coffee.
Yeah, thank you. Mino compliments that
that's
every time.
That's what you
I come.
Said. That's
it's Cameron's toasted southern pecan. It's really good.
Probably the pecan I'm smelling.
Yeah.
Coffee at this hour, you're going to be up a while.
Oh no, I just.
Are you a night owl?
Well, you know, of sorts.
Of sorts.
Of sorts.
Yeah. Will that affect your sleep?
No.
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 You're one of those guys that just nods off anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Try to stay awake through the interview. That's all I ask. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, I know you've been on Mino and the Mayor several times. I'm sure a lot of their listeners know who you are and what you do, but introduce yourself a little bit, if you would, to the Nightlight listeners.
Well, my real name is Mike, and everyone does call me Gizmo. It started from that Gremlin movie, you know, that way back then.
Okay. Yeah,
I hated it, you know, I didn't like it. And
yeah.
It seems like the more you hate something, the more people insist on shoving it down your throat. So people were writing it on my locker and on my books and on my stuff. And happened for quite a while because it was in high school, you know. And pretty soon it just stuck. And I thought, well, fine, I'll be Gizmo. And, you know, and I've always had magic in my life. It wasn't a constant. It sort of wove its way in and out. I started when I was about 8 or 9. People ask me, what's the first time you did magic? I was about 8 years old. It was up in, you know, we used to go up north and, you know, hang out with the cousins and all that. And my cousin taught me this trick with a bottle and a bottle cap, and I lost my mind, man. I'm like, that is the craziest thing ever. And I was hooked, I think, right there. And so, you know, I learned a lot of tricks that I could do, and I thought, I don't know if I'm really good at this. So I sort of, it didn't really stick right away. And then somewhere along the path, I was out at a bar getting these Buck Burgers, and somebody was doing a couple tricks, and I'm like, man, I haven't done magic in a while. I said, here, let me see those cards. And I started freaking everybody out. And they're like, wow, what are you, a magician? And I'm like, well, not really. I just know, I happen to know a lot of tricks. And then it just sort of, I don't know, it fueled me at that moment. Because we would go in there like once a month for these Buck Burgers. Hey, there's that magic guy. I'm like, magic guy, I guess, you know. So I just sort of took it on at that point. And then
How old were you when this is happening?
I was in my 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where's up north?
Up north is Lakewood, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My family's always had property up there, and we would always, you know, that's where I'd see all my cousins, you know, 30, 40 of us would all be together, you know, and it's like, wow, okay, it's summertime. I get to hang out because, you know, we didn't all live in Green Bay and stuff. So.
And did you grow up here in Green Bay?
I did. Yeah,
okay. So
yeah.
You're a Green Bay kid through and through.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Southwest.
Nice. Okay.
Class of 85.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, and throughout high school and stuff, people even knew me as kind of a jokester and a storyteller. And I did a few tricks back then, and, some card tricks, and even one with I used to do this one with a cigarette, you know, where you'd, and it would disappear and then you'd pull it back out from their ear or whatever.
But, oh, I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really popular for some reason, but it's because everybody smoked back then, you know, even in high school, you'd just go to your car and smoke, you know, they didn't make as big of a deal. But they should have, you know, that's just a terrible thing. Worst habit I ever did in my life. Never smoke. That's a good.
Do you smoke now?
I do not. I do not. Okay. Cigarettes are terrible, man. My wife still smokes.
Oh, wow. There you go. And
well,
your wife smokes and you're able to not. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just can't. It's, it got to a point in my life where I was like, okay, I've had enough, you know, and you have to want that on your own. But
so is that how you got started? Basically, just kind
basically,
of,
yeah. It just sort of fueled itself. It's sort of, it's almost like it was pulling at me to do some more magic. Hey, you know, magic was tugging at, you know, like you get into magic and then it gets into you, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's kind of interesting in that I was doing it enough, you know, that I was doing it at work parties and things like that, to where a couple of people are like, hey, man, I got family having a birthday party. Can you come? I'll pay you. You know, I'm like, absolutely, you know?
Yeah.
Then I had to figure out a scale, you know, I'm trying to figure it out, you know? And then I ended up going back to school about 10 years ago. I got a marketing degree, 4.0. Thank you very much.
Hey, well done.
And, you know, I was going to try to utilize it for my magic, which I have. But I came to the conclusion that I really don't want to make magic full time. I like keeping it as a hobby. I do work full time in vinyl graphics. It's an artsy job. I really like it.
Yeah.
As a hobby, I can keep it really fun, and I don't have to take on every job, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I did stand-up comedy in the 90s. It was my gig. It was my full-time job. But I don't know, like, can you do magic full-time? I'm sure you can do anything full-time if you're willing to travel and do all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I remember a guy named the Amazing Jonathan who traveled all over the place.
Yeah, he's great.
He was. And I think he passed away, but very funny. And but I don't, can you do that full-time?
It's tough. You know, you'd have to get in with the comedy club, so you'd have to be, and I did, you know, but I wasn't mixing magic at the time. I did a lot of impressions. I do like 26 impressions. It's crazy, man. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You want to hear one of my best impressions?
Absolutely.
People tell me this is stellar. That's the term they use.
Who's stellar?
No, yeah, I don't know. Who's the stellar guy? I'll just do the impression, and you'll know who it is if you've seen the show.
Here we go.
Oh, hey, Peter. I was just sitting over here waiting for Quagmire.
Right? Conrad?
You're close.
That's Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, there you go. From Family Guy, yeah.
I thought it was Peter Griffin at first, but then it's obviously Cleveland.
The other one, too, is it's the creepiest voice on cartoons ever was, I think it's Herbert the Pervert, where he comes on, he's, say, Osborne, if you boys are going to come over to my house this afternoon. I got some popsicles in the basement. Mm.
That's so horrible.
It's horrible. It's creepy. But, you know, I think that's what I always grew up doing was finding those. Even Robin Williams, I used to do him when I was a kid, you know, and that's where some of that started, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did a lot of that. When I got into the comedy clubs, I did a little bit of that. I tried to be funny. I didn't have magic really going for me at the time.
Okay.
So I've always had entertainment in my life, you know.
So you did stand up, but it was mostly impressions. Yeah. And did you work any kind of circuit just in Wisconsin? Did you travel all over?
I worked at Doc's Comedy Club. I know you had worked there. You talked about, I don't know how, you must have popped in there a few times. It was local.
Oh,
it was
Doc's down the street.
Yeah, down in
Washington. Frank Herman's and
Frank
Herman
Sr., yeah. And Frank Jr., who runs the Meyer over there, he's got that.
I knew all of those guys.
Yeah.
I knew Frank Sr. had the white hair.
Yeah.
And he hung out at the bar. He was just a crack up to talk to. And then Frank Jr., obviously, you know, it's funny, Mike. I came back to Wisconsin over 10 years ago, and Frank Herman's, the guy who owned the comedy club, was now this institution.
Yeah.
Like, what an incredible thing he's done.
Yeah, he's great.
And his brother Mike was really cool. Yeah, they were a fun bunch. So you worked Doc's.
So I did. I worked there for a little while. It was whenever, you know, Frank wasn't able to fill in for the MC, he'd call me say, hey, can you MC? You know, and it wasn't very much. It was like $50 and free drinks or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it was such a great learning opportunity, not just for comedy, but for entertainment in general. You know, just how to entertain people. And I learned from some of the best guys. They were from Chicago and all that. You know, they'd see me and they saw how raw I was. And they'd be like, hey, man, come over here. Let me tell you some stuff. You know, and they'd fill me in, you know, and it was such great advice and stuff. It just, you know, and that sort of propelled me even further, you know. And then it's like, and then once I picked magic up again, it just sort of seemed to fall hand in hand. And then it's, I don't know, it's magic has taken me in a lot of places, man. Wherever there are people, I've done magic.
That's so cool. I might have been one of those guys from Chicago, but I wouldn't have been encouraging you. I didn't want the competition, so I probably would have tried to get you to quit somehow. My guest is Mike Chigurh, also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. You're going to tell us when we come back how we can do a card trick on the radio.
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll talk about Houdini. I got a ton of questions for Mike. It's great to have him in studio. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th 18th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I love AKA that. Mike Shiger. Great to have you in studio, Mike. We were talking during the break about theater locally, and you're in a play next week. It's hard to book you on the show because you're so busy with the show, but Tell us about what you're into and what where people can see you in this show, Pippin.
Well, Pippin is actually playing. It started last weekend. It's running this week, actually, and weekend. It starts again tomorrow, and it's going to be at Broadway Theater in De Pere. And it's a great show, man. It is such a great
classic
show. Yeah, I'm doing actually pre-show magic where if you get there early enough and you come into the stand, you get to see me doing some magic. And I share it with, you know, people that are just kind of getting their seats. And it goes over really well because it's close-up magic, you know, and people don't expect it. So if you're going to the show or if you're thinking about going to the show, you'll get a little extra.
There you go. What... where can people get tickets? And it's playing through this week only?
It is. It finishes this Saturday. So Tuesday through Saturday is your last chance. You can get tickets. If you just Google Broadway Theater De Pere, you will find it. But it's technically under Birder Studios. I believe it's birderstudios.org. But there, you know, either way, you can find it pretty easy if you just Google Broadway Theater De Pere, and then you'll find their website. And then there's links to tickets and things like that.
So you've done stand-up, you've done magic, you're in community theater. What is your favorite thing to do? Or does it change as you get older, your interests? Or you know, how does that work?
I just love to entertain. And I actually once heard Jim Carrey say this, so I'm going to quote him. And I thought, man, he just hit it on the head. That's how I feel. He said, I realized one night the purpose of my life, it is to free people from concern.
Wow. Yeah. We need that now more than ever. The whole reason I love doing this show is because I feel like it does bring people together. We talk about movies and TV and music and theater and comedy. And man, do we need that now more than ever. It's the same kind of effect that sports has. You kind of put your differences aside and hopefully bring people together. You have a card trick. Tell me, do you need to set this up before we do something?
No, there's
or
no
should
setup.
We save them? Should we save it for the second part of the...
We can save it if you want. If you want, what we could do is we could have some listeners play along. That's always fun.
Okay.
You know, if anybody's watching on Facebook or they're listening, grab an old deck of cards. Look, decks of cards are like a dollar and some change. I buy these by the case just because I do so much of this. And they get wrecked after time, but I still wreck them anyway on purpose. This trick actually involves kind of destroying the cards, so you won't be able to use them. Unless you tape them back together. But so if you got an old deck of cards, grab them. We'll have some fun, you know. And even if you're by yourself, it'll still work just fine. But it helps if you have more people. So if you got a few people with you, it'll work even better as a group. So
and you can watch, you'll do it to me here on the stream.
Yeah, we can do it to you. We could even have
Conrad
in there, grab a few cards if he wants to play along. I know he's got a lot of technical things going on, so it might be a challenge for him. But
he's still taking the memo I asked him to take like 15 minutes ago. I don't think he's that busy at the moment.
What was the other? I forgot the words that you wanted me to put down. Sorry.
See, we'll just rewind.
What were the words? we could do that, or do you want to do that? Because I want to talk to you about Houdini, too. Should we do the magic when we talk about Houdini? Would that be cooler?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So, but tell us a little bit about... I don't know a lot about magic. I think it's really cool when it's in front of me, but I don't Google it. I don't, you know, kind of do any research. Tell us about how magic came to be and the history of magic, if you would.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't get asked that much. I was actually going to teach magic in Sturgeon Bay. They offered me to teach a class there to elderly students that wanted to come back to school. Hmm. And I had a syllabus and I had it all laid out. And the company I was working for at the time, I couldn't get the time off because it was only like a couple days a week, 2-3 days a week or whatever.
Okay.
So it would have been kind of a cool gig. But it did involve going through the history. And the history of magic is interesting. And I just told somebody about this recently. The first magic that people like to talk about is when people were hunting and they were sort of wearing camouflage. They were wearing sticks and wearing things to disguise themselves from, you know, from whatever they were hunting. So that was the first illusion that people sort of utilized. Okay. They realized the art of illusion. Hey, if I, you know, look like the bushes, maybe I can get a little closer to the thing I'm hunting, you know?
Right.
So the art of illusion goes back that far. But as far as like card tricks, cup and balls, that's considered the oldest trick.
What's it called?
The cup and balls, where there's a cup, you know, and then there's the balls. I know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And
Conrad, are you giggling too?
It's not. I know.
It definitely
am. He thinks he's so mature. All right.
It doesn't have anything to do with cupping anything.
All right. Good to know. It's a family show, Mike.
But the interesting thing with that particular illusion, the cups and balls, if you will, there's an old painting, and I believe it's, I can't remember the name of it. It's like called The Thief or something like that. But in that painting, very old painting, is someone on the street and they've got a cup and some balls. And in the same painting is someone pickpocketing all the people watching the people. Because what it was is the trick was so great. Okay. Everybody would be so enthralled. Where's the ball? And they would never guess where it is because he's a magician. And then they go, oh, I thought it was there. Nope. And they're so distracted, people would bump into you and pickpocket.
Genius.
So, yeah, right? So, because of that, magic got a bad rap on the street. If you went to a fair and there was somebody doing that, stay away from that guy. He will rip you off.
Wow.
So get this. There was a magician back then. I don't know the date on this. You'll have to Google this if you're one of those people. But he's credited with inventing tickets for a show, this magician, because what was happening is people were getting ripped off. So he's like, man, I do good magic. I don't rip anybody off. I want them to see my show. He put up a tent at the fair with a one door in, one door out. And then he had a table at the end of the tent where there was no one behind him. There was no one behind you. You bought your ticket. You went in like one at a time or with your group of your friends.
Right.
You got tickets and then you went in with your, you know, you saw, and he was known for taking like 28 eggs out of an empty basket. That was his famous trick. If you Google that, you'll know the guy. But, He made that the idea of getting a ticket because then you had to, you know, you could get a ticket for the show and then you could go in and see the show and you knew you weren't going to get robbed because you were in a tent and no one was able to get to you, right? So anyway, that's
fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
Just to keep people safe from magicians.
Yeah, yeah. He had to change the tone of magic. He totally changed the tone. You know, and then it worked its way into vaudeville, where a lot of magic got its life there, where it became special effects. People wanted more than just a play or more than just, you know, singing. They wanted special effects, and the special effects were just that. They were illusions and magic, and they were good, man, back then. You know, and there's a lot of history on that, too, and there were even things that were used to, you know, create illusion that, you know, were pretty obvious, but they worked because they were never thought of and that kind of stuff. So it brought plays to a different level, you know,
that kind of thing. Yeah. Mike Jagera is my guest. He's also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. He is in studio here tonight at Nightlight helping us unwind from the RNC. If you're just joining us, welcome. So, all right. I love that. So how do you... I'm trying to think what we should do here. Okay, so tell us, what is the name of the trick? When we come back from the break, we'll do the trick.
Okay.
And then we'll talk some Houdini. So tell us the name of the card trick.
Okay, I call it Loves Me, Loves Me Not.
Okay. There's nothing risque like you just said a few minutes
ago. No, it just takes you back to when you were a kid with a daisy and you're pulling the daisy pedal.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Mike is here. He's coming back with us. Civic Media's award-winning news team is coming up right now. Stay tuned for the news and get informed and then come back and join us for an on-the-radio card trick and some Houdini talk with Gizmo the Illusionist. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
are listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Special Report. Tens of thousands of Republicans are in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention, where former President Donald Trump has officially been nominated, and he has chosen freshman U.S. Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio as his vice presidential running mate. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is there.
As a senator, Vance is more conservative than Trump on abortion rights, believing there should only be exceptions if the life of the mother is at risk. And he signaled earlier this year he would do something that Mike Pence wouldn't back on January 6, 2020. Allow challenges to the election results from 2020 in several states.
Outside of the RNC, protesters. Convention attendee Kelly Primavera says of Trump's nomination,
they tried to assassinate him, and he's still coming back fighting. So I think the Republicans are behind him 150% now.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Trump finally has a running mate. He announced Monday that 39-year-old Ohio Senator J.D. Vance will be his vice presidential candidate in November. Vance was elected to the Senate in 2022. He is known for his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, published in 2016. Despite being the target of an assassination attempt on Saturday, Trump is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention and plans to speak on Thursday. Governor Evers announced Monday that the state is awarding $1.3 million in grants to Wisconsin's coastal communities. Evers posted on X that the money will be distributed through the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program to 31 projects across the state, aiming to restore coastal habitats and prevent pollution. Evers said that the Great Lakes are a vital natural resource whose importance to Wisconsin's culture, economy, and history can't be overstated. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Trump finally has a running mate. He announced Monday that 39-year-old Ohio Senator J.D. Vance will be his vice presidential candidate in November. Vance was elected to the Senate in 2022. He is known for his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, published in 2016. Despite being the target of an assassination attempt on Saturday, Trump is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention and plans to speak on Thursday. Governor Evers announced Monday that the state is awarding $1.3 million in grants to Wisconsin's coastal communities. Evers posted on X that the money will be distributed through the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program to 31 projects across the state, aiming to restore coastal habitats and prevent pollution. Evers said that the Great Lakes are a vital natural resource whose importance to Wisconsin's culture, economy, and history can't be overstated. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Severe thunderstorm watch for Milwaukee and Waukesha. Tornado watch Kenosha, Racine. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be severe with large hail and damaging wind gusts. Heavy rainfall a concern as well. Warm and muggy with lows near 70. Right now it's 80.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Gene Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is day two of the RNC. We're going to have a little update for you on lake sitting, axe throwing California guy Eric Hovde. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
are back for hour number two of Nightlight. Joining me in the studio is Mike Jagger, also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. Tomorrow night on the show from, what's the show? I'm totally spacing out. American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman will be here joining me at 8:05 tomorrow night, right after the Republican National Convention. So tune in for that interview. Matt is a great guy, very funny, and hosted another show that I worked on as a writer called Sports Soup. He's a terrific guy and a great interview. You won't want to miss that. But right now we're having in-studio fun, as I like to call it, with Mike. And Mike, you have a card trick.
I do.
So people listening can get in on this, or if they're watching on the stream, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
More appropriately, since they can see the visuals. So tell me what you're going to do here, and how can I help you?
Well, this I was on the show on Mine on the Mayor, actually, back in February. I forgot I was telling you about it.
You don't have to name drop. It's okay. You're here.
No. I was on a different show. but I was on in February because this one plays well during Valentine's Day, because it's a little bit about love. Yeah. So all it involves is four cards. I'm just going to hand you four random.
My four cards here. This is called Love Me, Love Me Not, correct?
Would you like to get in on
Conrad,
this?
Conrad, you want in on this? Come on, buddy.
Yeah, this will be fun. This will only take a minute.
Can I look at him?
Yeah, you can look at him.
Okay. Conrad can't see.
And then you can take him in the other room if you want. And then
what do I do with cards?
Take these two with you, actually, Conrad. There you go. Set these in front of you, though.
This is a roundabout way to get us into a game of strip poker, Conrad. So.
Now, Conrad, you can. Oops. Oh, well, okay, so now here's the thing. We have four cards. If you're watching along, grab four cards. You know what? If you've got four different cards, you can even be two jokers if you want.
So you're showing me your cards.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's okay. Just
I can show you mine?
I've got two black twos, but it's a two of clubs and two of spades. So they're all different. You've got two fives, but they're different fives, right? And I'm sure Conrad has all different cards. You can pick the four that you want, Conrad, and then set the other two down in front of you. You don't have to take the four I gave you or anything, just because. So here's how it works. We're going to grab the cards now. You're going to pick up your little pile there, all right? And I know this is going to seem weird, but look, I'll try to do this in the camera here. Right down the middle here, I'm not going to look at my cards, but right down the middle, I'm just going to go like this, and I'm going to rip the pile literally right in half like that. So I have a half of pile in one hand and half of pile in the other. I know, we said we had to wreck the cards.
Those are good cards.
Yeah, I know. Okay. No, these are cheap, man. They're a dollar a pack here. So here you go. Just rip it right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
And then once you have a pack, put one pack, if you will, or one half. Yeah, I know. Get him started. There you go.
Emasculated, Mike. Okay, there we go. All right, take they're
one,
ripped.
Yep, there you go. One stack, put it right on top of the other stack.
Doesn't matter which
stack, right?
Beautiful.
So now we'll keep them face down at this point, okay? All right. Okay. Now we're going to take the first three pieces off of our stack. One, two, three. We're going to peel off three pieces,
two,
right?
Three.
Okay. Now we're going to open up our remaining stack, okay?
All right.
And then these three pieces, we're going to shove them all as close to the middle as possible. I know there isn't technically a middle because there's like five left, but just shove them somewhere in the middle, right? Just they don't all have to go in the exact same, just so they're all somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
And now we'll close our stack back up.
Close them up, Conrad.
Okay. The very next piece, I'd like you to set aside, like put something over it or cover it so you can't see it underneath your notepad or something like that. Just the next.
Any one of them?
Just the one right off the top there. Right the next piece the right off the top. There you go. There you go. Cover your phone. Now, the very next piece, I want you to trade with someone else. So here, trade me the top piece. Okay, there you go. And if you have if you want to rip one of those cards in front of you, Conrad, you can take a half of a piece from a pile in front of you and then put your piece down and then take that piece from the pile in front of you. All right?
Okay.
And if anyone else is playing by the, without somebody else there, you can do the same. So now you take the piece that you've got and put that in the pile.
The piece under my phone?
No. The piece you just traded, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Put that in the middle. In the middle somewhere.
All right.
Yeah. Right. Now, this next thing is weird. You get a choice. You can take one, two, or three right off the top. I take three. If you had a good year, take three. If you had an okay year, take two or one. Okay. I had a good year.
Yeah. Every year.
Okay. Now you're gonna open your stack up again and shove those three pieces somewhere in the middle, wherever that is to you.
Mike, you're up to no good, and I know it.
Right.
But I'm following along.
Okay. Now, this is where we're going to go to what I was talking about before, where we're in grade school, loves me, loves me not, hence the title of the trick.
Okay.
So the very first piece on top is loves me. So we want to take that off the top and put it right to the very bottom of the stack.
Okay.
All right. Loves me. Keep that one. Loves me not. Toss that in front of you. You don't
toss
want that.
It.
Loves me not.
Get
just like
here.
The pedal. You want to get rid of it. Okay. The next one, loves me. We're going to keep that one and put it right to the bottom of the pile. Right?
Love it.
The next one, loves me not. Get rid of it.
Boom.
I hate you.
Done. Get out of here.
The next one, loves me. We want to keep that and put it right on the bottom of the pile. Okay. The next one, loves me not. Get rid of it.
See ya.
She's got nothing to do with us anymore. The next one, loves me. We're going to keep that because we love her. And the next one, loves me not. She's two times. Just get rid of her.
Oh.
All right. The next one, loves me. Keep that. We're keeping that one right to the bottom of the pile.
Okay.
And loves me not. Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
All right.
Okay. The next one, loves me, right to the bottom. And loves me not. Get rid of it.
Okay.
Now, you should have one piece left. Is that right, Conrad?
I do.
You got one piece left?
Yes.
Okay. Now, look at the piece that I had told you to put aside underneath your phone and see if it matches the piece that you have in your hand. Yay.
What the heck?
Right? Do they all match? Mine did.
All right. Isn't right that there. Insane?
If you're listening or you're playing along, you know, send us a text if it worked for
Sydney
you.
Sydney Sweeney still loves me. That's what I'm taking away from this game. Wow.
So sometimes it doesn't work. It's got about a 90% success rate. Because sometimes, you know, if the cards are stuck together or if you don't get them in the exact spot, sometimes it doesn't work out. But yeah, but isn't that crazy?
If someone, all right, so if someone did what you just did, is this you doing it or is it? I mean, there's got to be something to what you did and the procedure and all that kind of stuff. But would it be hard to teach someone?
Not really. You could teach someone fairly quickly, I think. And then they could make it their own version. They could add whatever they wanted to the finish. You know, there's another.
How do you know you're going to get to the thing though with the card? I guess it's just.
Well, here
when you tear the. Well, I'm not asking.
No,
you
no, no. Here, let's put it this way. There sometimes math is a funny thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I want to give you a good example of that. If we can do this quick math trick.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to name a number between, we'll go between 1 and 5 to keep it quick and easy. Okay.
Right.
Shout a number out.
4.
4. Okay. I'll set that here. We can't change that. You picked it, but right. We won't change it. Okay. Now I want you to think of a number between 1 and 5, but don't tell me what it is.
Okay.
You've got one. Now I'd like you to take that number, multiply it times 2.
Okay.
Okay. Now add 2.
Okay.
Okay. Now multiply that times 5.
Okay.
Okay. If you're listening and playing
do you need
along,
the calculator
follow
you?
Us. Okay.
I do.
Now I'd like you to subtract 6.
Okay.
Okay. What is your total?
14.
I guarantee you started with a 1 and you picked the 4 because your total is 14. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Then, and what did you start with, Conrad? Were you playing along at all?
I wasn't.
Oh, okay. If
you were,
if
thanks,
anyone
Conrad.
Was playing along, they'll find that whatever number they started with will be the total and the 4 will be part of it.
And that's just basic math.
Yeah, that's all math.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I know, right?
So what do you do? Like you go table to table in a restaurant or something? Do places hire you to do this? It seems
typically,
like it would be great entertainment if you're just eating someplace. You know?
Yeah, typically that's my style is to do what's known as table magic, restaurant magic, close-up magic, strolling magic, walk-around magic. It's got a lot of titles. Street magic. It's basically anywhere where there are little small groups of people. You know, wedding receptions are perfect for that, especially like between the time it starts and dinner starts. There's about an hour and a half. People are just sort of milling around trying to catch up. And when I go to a wedding, the thing I hear the most is we had people stay all night and they couldn't stop talking about your magic because it creates a buzz in the room, you know, and then pretty soon people are talking about it and they can't get enough. And all it takes is a few quick magic tricks. You know, I do some with cards. I do some with coin. I try to work with what people have on them. Do you have a dollar? Do you have a coin? Do you have what's in your pocket? You know,
right.
That's the best magic of all. You know, where you can work with what's in the room. Everyday object magic is the category. And I didn't realize that when I was getting into magic. I realized that I liked that particular category because you know, you got to get up close for that kind of magic. You just have to. And I like people and I like being in their personal space and
okay.
I don't have that issue. You know?
So what do you do? Mike Jagger is my guest, also known as Gizmo the Illusionist. He's here in studio on Nightlight doing some tricks for us. And we're going to talk about Houdini in just a minute. But what do you do? Like, I've been in show business long enough. Sometimes it doesn't work. The joke falls flat. You can't remember a line. You play the wrong chord. There's got to be something in magic. What do you do when something flops?
You have a fail-safe sometimes. Now, there are plenty of illusions that do have a fallback. They have a plan B, if you will. And if the audience doesn't know what's coming, you can throw plan B out without them realizing you changed the trick at the end.
Okay.
Not everything is that way. what usually happens when because I've messed up tricks and I have, you know, they have gone wrong. Typically that happens when I've done too many for too long. Like I did magic at a Renaissance fair one time. I was there for like 6 hours. Just strolling around. And I actually had a deck of tarot cards that I found, really old looking tarot cards. I took the death card out. I didn't want anybody to pick that just because, you know, but it was so much fun. You know, your card was the 4 of cups, you know, or whatever, right? People loved it. But I realized though, after about the 5th hour, my mental sort of, you know, ability was starting to go brrr.
Right.
Because I had, because to do magic, you know, you're juggling in your head. You're doing one thing, saying another, and, you know, doing something else, you know?
Right.
So it gets, it kind of wears on you to a point where you start to screw up after a while. I'm like, oh, time to shut it down, go take a break, you know, and just stop for a while, you know? And that's when you know you've done too much magic.
I can't even imagine. That's got to be crazy. But do people, like, do they call you out on it? Like, if you... If the
all
trip,
the
like,
time.
Like if I taken this card, and it was not the five of clubs, it was a three and a four or something, what would you say? Like, how would you back out of that?
I would just say, well,
the person.
I would sometimes, or sometimes I will sort of adapt the idea of the chi in the room, you know, how,
okay.
And it's funny. I, in a way I'm joking, but in a way I'm not, because there's a lot of stuff written about it, about how the chi or the energy in the room can go negative, or people can be just like, somebody heckles a comedian, you know, people sure. heckle magicians all the time. And heckling is just a matter of them not going along with the trick. You know, here, pick a card, give me them, I'll pick the cards. And then they, you know, it's like, so I have fallbacks for those things, because okay. those things have happened enough. There's always a plan B for that kind of stuff. But it is a type of heckling. So you, if you're prepared for it, you can do something about it. But
right.
sometimes people surprise you, you know, you're like, wow, did you never have fun as a kid, or what's going on there? You know,
I would just be that guy where it would lay flat and I'd be like, ooh, yeah. tell us about Houdini.
Okay. Houdini, well, I could really go on for a long time.
Well,
so
we know he's from Appleton.
He, well,
we know he's a famous illusionist.
He was.
He was an influence of yours, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Houdini actually was born in Budapest, Hungary.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Yeah. And then his parents moved here when he was very little, and they lived in Appleton for a while. His dad was a rabbi. And there was some, you know, there's always a good conspiracy, but there was this conspiracy story about his dad having to do with some sort of murder, and that's why they had to come to the U.S.
Oh, wow.
It's probably not true, but I remember reading that and going, ah, there's another conspiracy. You know, you got to love it, right?
Yeah.
But you never know. You just don't know, because back then things were different, you know. But he moved here, and he discovered magic through a book from Robert Houdin. And Robert Houdin... was an illusionist from France who made automatons, these automated things out of clock parts, because his dad was a clockmaker. I could go off on that, but he studied that guy and he loved magic. And then he realized he wanted to be like Houdin. So he named himself Houdini, which is Houdin with an I. And somebody said in Italian or something that adding an I means you're like whatever you're adding the I to. So he's like Houdin. So he became Houdini. And his first name, believe it or not, his first name, his real name is Eric Weiss, or Eric Weiss, depending on, you know, W-E-I-S-S.
Houdini's name?
Houdini's real name, oh. Yeah. And what's interesting is, born March 24th, 1874, 26
okay.
years before the millennial. He died in 1926, 26 years after the millennial. There was 52 cards in a deck of cards. His life was cut short, or cut in half, you could say. So it was all in the cards for him.
Wow. So,
but going back to his first name,
yeah.
his real name was Eric. His mom, being from Hungary, always called him Little Airy, short for Eric. Airy, where are you, Airy? And his friends are like, why is your mom calling you Harry? So he kind of picked it up as a kid. Okay. His calling him, you know, Harry, just to kind of pick on him a little bit. So he just stuck with it. He's like, you know what? But he also claims that it was an homage to Harry Thurston, another famous magician back in time. But,
how long did he live in Appleton?
It was a very short period. It was when he was a kid and he got to be a teenager. There was a joke that he quoted saying, you know, my greatest escape was escaping Appleton, Wisconsin.
Why do people do that to Wisconsin sometimes?
But it wasn't because he didn't love Wisconsin. He yeah. always came back, and he did love Wisconsin.
Oh, that's good.
But he left because the opportunities were just bigger
sure.
in bigger cities, you know, and that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he knew he was great. At some point, and he knew he had the skills, so he's like, I got to get out of this small town, man. I got to go bigger. And I'll go bigger, go home, you know?
All right, coming up next, Mike Gizmo is going to recommend a movie about magic that he and I were talking about, and I have a couple more Houdini questions, so we'll do that, too. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late, and I found she wasn't.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Another night, another from the 814, Jameson, who has become one of our more interesting texters, I would say, certainly said, somehow he's referring to our talk from last segment. This reminded me of P.T. Barnum, I think, with the ticket thing. When he saw that people were spending too much time at his attractions, he made new signs this way to the great egress. Egress is Latin for exit. And he duped them into leaving, thinking they would see something else. Amazing.
That's beautiful. I actually portrayed P.T. Barnum at a dead celebrity monologue that was happening at the Tarleton here not that long ago.
Kidding.
Yeah, he was a character, man.
Jameson calls him a genius, and it sounds like you have the same sentiment. And then Bridget answering our question for the night, what movie should never have been made into a sequel? She says, Grease. You can't touch the original. Boy, that is a great one. I think Bridget wins best answer of the night. Although I would say Saturday Night Fever had a sequel too, and I think it was called Stayin' Alive.
Oh.
And at the end of the movie, John Travolta walks out. He got some kind of validation. He says, I just want to strut. The end of the movie is just him doing that Travolta walk to the music. It was really cheesy. So I don't even think I saw that whole movie, but that probably never should have been made into a sequel either. So Mike Jagger is here. He is also known as Gizmo, the Illusionist. We were talking about Harry Houdini. How did Harry Houdini do the escapes? Is that... How do you practice something like that? It seems dangerous.
He practiced breathing. He could hold his breath for a long time. It was like a minute and a half with no trouble at all. And he was very aware of that. So he would never panic. When you're hanging upside down in a water tank, a lot can go wrong.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
if you have some kind of an... You got to watch what you eat before you do. All of that. There's a lot going into that, a prep.
You don't have time to pop a couple Tums if you get heartburn either, right?
Some burp or something comes up, man. It's like, bah. But he did have a failsafe. There was always a little, he had a signal that they could sort of get him out quickly if they needed to. Thankfully, they never did. I don't think he ever had to use that. Hey, there's an inherent risk in that. But, his most dangerous... illusion or trick that wasn't really an illusion, because he was a showman, much like David Blaine today.
Yeah.
A showman. But his most dangerous thing that he did was he dove into a river. I want to say it was like the Chicago River, some river that was like frozen. Mm. And they chipped a hole in it down at the, they were up on the bridge, and down below there were some people. They chipped a hole big enough for somebody to go through it. He was up on the edge of the bridge wearing nothing but like a pair of shorts. And they handcuffed him, and he jumped in from the bridge through that hole. Now, in the movie and in his autobiography, they explain that he had a key taped to his foot. And I'm not giving that away. You can watch the movie, you can read the book, and that's all fair game. He doesn't care that we all know that now, so I feel it's okay to say that. But in the movie, they showed that, and they tried to show it in the movie, but in the book, oh my God, he said that was his most terrifying moment, because when he went through, a little bit of current was down there that he wasn't expecting, and it started to pull him down river, and then he couldn't find the hole. He didn't have anything to breathe. But he knew he had a minute and a half. He knew he could take his time. He's like, don't panic, man. If you panic, you're dead. So he had to find the hole again. Dude, that was the most difficult part of that whole thing. Once he saw a little bit of light, he was like, oh, there it is. And he was like, and then he,
genuine panic.
Oh, right? Yeah.
The ultimate escape artist, Harry Houdini. Wow. So he was able to get the key off his foot and undo the cuffs. But then
he was like, oh, my God, where am I?
And
you know,
freezing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he climbed into water that was frozen and stuff. He's, prepped himself for that. You know, you can do that to some degree.
Right.
And plus the body, you know, goes into a certain shock, you know, and if you know how to prepare for that, you know what it is. You can mentally sort of overcome that to some degree. But you still have to prep for that. That's a lot of, that's why I said he's a showman. You know, the average person, you just can't just go and do it. You got to prepare for that. There was a guy that tried one of his illusions where Houdini would climb into a coffin. They'd plunk him into the river and then he'd come swimming out. And this guy in India did it about 5 or 6 years ago. He didn't make it. And something went wrong. There was a little too much current that he didn't count on or something.
Oh,
didn't factor
gosh.
In. Just didn't make it. So I was like, and then in the magic community, we all heard about it. It's like, oh my God, somebody tried it again. You know, people are always trying Houdini's tricks and some people fail, you know? And then that's when you realize, hey, there's real danger there. You know,
to the cards.
Cards, really. That's what I do, man. It's like, I stick to close up magic.
You could probably get a bad paper cut there.
Yeah. You know, I have this trick that's a Houdini type of trick where it involves chains and you chain me up and everything. I was prepping for a show and it sort of had this sort of older theme. And I thought, well, I'll bring some Houdini magic and I'll bring up, you know, and I brought the practicing with it. I didn't realize there was this little part of it that was chrome and the chrome, because it was old, it had like flaked back. And it created this like razor edge.
I
went to spin it off. It sliced into my thumb about a 2-inch long gash, if you will.
Into just someone's blood. Pasta primavera or something?
No, luckily I was at home and it just blood everywhere.
Oh, man.
I put a bunch of Band-Aids on it and I went and did my show anyway, you know. And
holy smokes.
A couple of people are like, what's with all the Band-Aids? I'm like, a little prep injury.
Magic
there,
gone awry. Mike, we have a couple more minutes. What do you have a favorite magic movie or magic song about magic? What do you like?
I do. Heart has a song about magic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you know the song.
It's called Magic.
Yeah,
right?
It's called Magic. Yeah. That's a great song. But my favorite movie dealing with magic is a movie called In and of Itself. It features Derek Delgadio. And if you're listening and you really want to look at something crazy and great and good and amazing, I'd advise you to check this out. I believe it's on Amazon Prime. In and of Itself is Derek Delgadio's life story, so to speak. It's an off-Broadway show, and they explain a lot of it in the beginning. And it talks about how he did like 500 performances and he is so phenomenal with cards and everything. And he does this crazy story about it. And then he talks about his life and his mom and how he experienced, you know, a different life than most people, you know?
Hmm.
So it's very touching, very amazing. And he does this thing at the end where he sort of guesses everybody's sort of personality in a way.
Wow.
It's just amazing. It's an amazing.
So kind of human, but also a little bit of magic in
there. Yeah. A good blend of magic and a life story.
And give us the name of it again.
It's In and of Itself.
On Prime.
On Prime from featuring Derek Delgadio. Yeah.
I'm watching a show called The Last Thing He Told Me with Jennifer Garner on Apple TV. And it's good. Conrad, what'd you watch this weekend? Anything?
I really didn't get to much this weekend. I watched another episode of the Sausage Party TV show.
Here are Conrad's big shows the last couple weeks. MILF Manor and Sausage Party.
Sausage Party? What is that? Does that have to do with cup and balls? Is that what we're going back
sounds
to?
Sounds like it. It sounds inappropriate on some level. Mike, thanks so much for coming in. This was fun. We got to do this again soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I get free time, I'll definitely come back on for sure.
Absolutely. And good luck with Pippin. Break a leg.
Thank you, man. It'll be a fun show.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Mike Jagera, a.k.a. Gizmo the Illusionist. Check him out at in De Pere this weekend in Pippin. Tomorrow night on the show, Matt Eisman will be here at 8:05, so don't be late. He's the host of American Ninja Warrior and a very funny guy. He'll be here at 8:05 tomorrow. Thank you also for all your texts. And tuning in after the convention. Have a great evening, everyone, wherever you are in our wonderful state. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Pete Schwabe.
Tuesday night, Nightlight will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We'll be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.